Welcome to the Curious Podcast, where we are constantly in the process of getting to the bottom of shit. In this episode, we will be looking into what is often called transhumanism or posthumanism. Life after man, if you will. There are a slew of books and films about man becoming one with machines, robots surpassing human beings, and man becoming obsolete. It's almost its own genre, as there's been so many different stories with the same plot. Humans become secondary to AI, or they must fuse with machines to compete. If humans can't compete, they will rely so much on AI and robotics in their day-to-day lives, they can no longer function without them. Some examples of transhumanism include the Netflix series Altered Carbon, in which a person's consciousness is uploaded onto a stack which looks like some sort of hard drive. This stack is also placed into the back of a person's neck, and you don't truly die unless your stack is destroyed. If someone kills your body, your stack can be inserted into another body and then your life resumes, albeit in a different body, maybe even a different gender. Not everyone in the show can afford an amazing skin or body, so it could be pretty weird if all you could afford was a little girl's body or an elderly man. This is currently the form of transhumanism we see marketed in society today. The kind where you could possibly live forever with the right equipment. Humans have no official predator as of today, and are able to lead generally comfortable lives with no imminent danger except the danger of other humans. Therefore, immortality has become less of a dream and more of a goal humanity is setting itself towards through transhumanism. Transhumanism can't give a person true immortality. True immortality would be to preserve your current form forever, like vampires do. No changing bodies or uploading consciousness. As someone with absolutely no scientific background, I don't think they can achieve that, which is why the fusion of man and machine is being encouraged. The transhumanist agenda is more than just artificial intelligence or robots taking over your jobs. Transhumanism is a manufactured ending of the human evolution. Yes, the end of humans as we know them today. TheLandMagazine.com reports on the transhumanist agenda. Quote, the transhumanist's initial answer is to copy the structure of the brain by a process they call reverse engineering. This involves scanning and mapping the structure of the brain by sending billions of nanobots through its capillaries and copying it into synthetic neural equivalents, which can be run on a computational substrate that is already far faster than neural circuitry. Once computers achieve a human level of intelligence, they will necessarily soar past it because non-biological knowledge can be shared so quickly and easily. The biological body, however, no matter how successfully enhanced, can never be more than a second-class robot. The final solution is to upload the human brain and consciousness, personality, memory, history, neurosis, and all. End quote. So this is literally the same, if not identical, to the plot of Altered Carbon, which is on Netflix again. Have a watch, it's great. So they are suggesting uploading consciousness, everything about them, on a hard drive or some sort of cloud. And this is because they can't keep a person's physical body alive, nor can they enhance the human brain and update it the way that is done with machines. Man and machine may not be as compatible as we have been led to believe. The cyborg era will not be a thing, sorry guys. The human brain, as much as it is compared to a computer, cannot compete with AI robotics in terms of their speed of learning and how they process information. The human brain is amazing, but unpredictable, depending on whose brain it is. It comes with emotional baggage and possible trauma, which actually alters the brain and affects the way it works and how it retains information. AI doesn't have trauma or depression, and it currently works at optimal speeds. Science seems to be really obsessed with trying to make people live a lot longer though. I'm not mad at it, but I personally don't want to be on Earth for 100 plus years. There's got to be a better planet or reality I can reincarnate to. LifeSciteNews.com discusses the technology being tested to maximize our current basic human form. Quote, transhumanists propose to increase longevity by using CRISPR genetic editing, which has been used to triple the lifespan of mice. Thus, using this technique on human beings, it is conceivable that people could live up to the age of 200 or 300 years old, he said. They propose to increase human intelligence by planting chips in people that have greater processing capacity than the human brain. An example is Elon Musk's Neuralink, which is an interface that is applied to the cerebral cortex and which Musk says will help people with Alzheimer's or epilepsy, but which Lucas speculates could open the door to neurohackers. There is also the post-humanist school of transhumanism, of which economist Bastrom is prominent. Bastrom proposes that at some point it will not even be necessary to have a physical body, but we will be a set of information that we will be able to upload our thoughts to the cloud, and that we will be able to form a great collective intelligence with other human beings, Lucas said. As for the promise of super well-being, philosopher Pierce said it was the hedonist imperative to genetically modify us to aspire to super well-being. What Pierce is saying is that through genetic modification, we're going to be virtuous human beings, and that we have to forget about pain and suffering. We have to get rid of those genes that make us aggressive, violent, jealous, that force us to fight and kill each other, said Lucas. End quote. Transhumanism is a murky topic because people are not being fully informed on what could go wrong. Instead, they're being given a lot of false hope about the future of these technologies. It's great if new ways of fighting disease, illness, and general pain are discovered and incorporated into our lives. It's another thing when we talk about just deleting the genes we think are negative, when it is literally what makes us human. Not to sound like a cheesy advert, but seriously. No, I do not want the gene that causes pain, anger, or violence to be edited out of me. We need to feel pain. It's an evolutionary mechanism that has been put into place thousands and thousands, well, maybe millions of years ago, in order for us to survive. If you don't feel physical pain, for example, how do you know something is wrong? It's the most basic form of your body telling you something is up. Protect me or fix this. I've probably butchered the explanation, but you get the gist of what I'm saying. We need all these things that are labeled as bad because there is a perpetual balance in nature that needs to be held so everything works properly. Many people are surprisingly welcoming this new era that we are being ushered into, not knowing it comes with a lot more serious consequences. In 2019, LifeScience.com reported some. Quote, DARPA, the Department of Defense's research arm, is paying scientists to invent ways to instantly read soldiers' minds using tools like genetic engineering of the human brain, nanotechnology, and infrared beams. The end goal? Thought-controlled weapons, like swarms of drones that someone sends to the skies with a single thought or the ability to beam images from one brain to another. This week, DARPA announced that six teams will receive funding under the Next Generation Non-Surgical Neurotechnology Program. Participants are tasked with developing technology that will provide a two-way channel for rapid and seamless communication between the human brain and machines without requiring surgery. Imagine someone who's operating a drone or someone who might be analysing a lot of data, said Jacob Robinson, an assistant professor of bioengineering at Rice University, who is leading one of the teams, end quote. So again, see how they make it seem so convenient, but your brain can literally be read by your bosses because it's been genetically engineered. Do you think all this is to help people, make their lives better? It definitely makes it easier for a government organization to control you, reading your intimate thoughts and changing information you receive in your brain. When new technology is announced, I personally think it's good to weigh the pros and cons. Most importantly, it's great to question whether a type of technology could put people at risk of government tyranny. Can that technology be abused? Of course it can. Anything can be abused or used in a negative way that can cause hurt to others, but it's even more dangerous when people are not aware that something can hurt them, because then they are willing to accept it and maybe ask questions later. I know people get excited that the future could possibly look like their favorite comics or movies, but we do not live under benevolent governments that want to improve humanity. This does not improve humanity. It takes us further away from what we are, and the gradual fusion of man with technology slowly disconnects us from nature. Nikola Tesla himself once said, quote, "Everyone should consider his body as a priceless gift from one whom he loves above all, a marvelous work of art of indescribable beauty and mystery beyond human conception, and so delicate that a word, a breath, a look, nay, a thought may injure it," end quote. Since 2020, we've heard a lot about the fourth industrial revolution. Klaus Schwab, founder of the World Economic Forum, tells us himself. So summarized very briefly, Klaus thinks things aren't working anymore with this old system we have. So apparently we need more technological advances, meaning more technology inside our bodies, and that somehow will create a better world. Here's a conference held by the World Economic Forum in 2020 called When Humans Become Cyborgs. They do lightly discuss ethics as well as the issue of privacy with all of these technologies. And I want to play you a segment from one of the lawyers on the panel, which I found quite interesting. So here goes.
It's the brain. When you make the human body full of sensors, these sensors are capable of collecting data. So these are new, exciting technologies. Miguel Nicolelis has been doing amazing work about reading the brain signals, basically allowing people to control mechanical arms through them, understanding how the brain thinks. So this is all data collection. It's all exciting, all new technologies, but the infrastructure that is used to collect that data, to share that data, is nothing new under the sun. And we know the problems that actually can emerge out of that. So if our brains are connected and you record, for instance, what are you possibly thinking, what are you, basically what areas of your brain are being stimulated at a certain point. There is even like devices that can collect what you're seeing, measuring your feelings either through facial recognition devices, micro muscle movements, and so on. These data is going to be stored somewhere. So it might be in a cloud service. What will be this cloud service? Where is the servers being located? Is it in Brazil? Is it in China? Is it in the United States? So depending on the jurisdiction, you have a different approach regarding how that data will be treated. So this is point number one. Point number two is that we become, therefore, sensors. So when you meet a new person and you shake hands, will we have to sign like a privacy notice to talk with that person? Like the person will say, so this is my terms of use, so you have to click this button before we start talking, because everything that we'll be talking will be recorded and so on. This is my privacy notice. And say, no, I don't agree. So, okay, bye-bye, I cannot talk to you. So that's the type of things that we have to think about, because when the human brain and like the human body becomes full of sensors, data is being collected, and there is legislation that actually requires the consent of other people in order to collect data about them. So this is like, sounds like a crazy example, but actually by law, that is already required. So this is not like something that is going to happen. Regarding drones, I think this is also very interesting, because all drone regulation around the world today are based regarding the weight of the machine. So the smaller machines are like 250 grams. Then you get like 1 kilograms, and then you have like big drones, the ones that can fly and make a lot of noise. The heavier the drone, the heavier the regulation. But what worries me is not about the big drones. It's actually about the real small ones. Because if your drone is the size of an insect and it can come through the sewage system and basically inject poison in a person and commit murder and then disappear into the sewage system again, what are you going to do about that? So my question is, you should not only think about regulating drones about their weight, but actually you should think about the regulation about the smaller the drone, maybe you have actually to think about specific regulation for that. So these are just like a few examples that I think I would share with you, because the problem with these technologies is they're new, they're exciting, but right now the data collection problems and the privacy issues and the legislation already made us know, and like we already know that there's so many problems that can emerge out of that. Mm-hmm. And I still don't have any answers to these questions, but I think like we'll have to be thinking very carefully about the regulation.
Why would any of us put ourselves in the position where our thoughts could be hacked or memories wiped? You may think I'm crazy if you've never listened to this podcast, but if you do regularly listen, you know that I always say the technology they tell us is still in progress has been used by government and military organizations for at least a few decades. There wouldn't be such a push for something if nobody knew how it worked or what the end game is. Government scientists aren't just stumbling into these ideas and inventions. There is a clear goal and destination. Quote, in relation to the effect of the technological implants on the human being, transhumanists only promote brain nanobots as a benefit to society. The transhumanists do not inform that the brain microchips and nanobots can be a weapon against the citizen. They would make us lose our mind control. The citizens would be controlled by others, and thus they would lose their autonomy, turning us into human robots. They would lose their privacy due to being permanently spied on with the cerebral internet. They would lose their identity since their memory can be deleted with brain nanobots. Thus, if the citizens are spied, controlled mentally, and do not have identity, they would become human slaves at the service of the transnational companies and economic powers. End quote. The biggest problem in the future does seem to be data protection, but in a totally new and intimate way. Because data could be stolen from your body in 20 years' time, will your data be used against you? I feel like we are definitely edging closer and closer into transhumanism. It's marketed to us in very insidious, sneaky ways, so you might find yourself leaning more towards a certain type of thinking because you've been told that it's the best direction for humanity to go in. It will definitely be interesting to see what kind of technologies do come up, as it seems like we are living in these future times now, and it's scary but also interesting. Also, late Happy New Year to everyone. I mean, if it's still January, you can still say Happy New Year. So I hope everyone enjoys this year. Also, I would like to announce that I am going to be launching my website this month. It's been officially a year since the Curious podcast has been a thing, and honestly, I've loved making it. It's been exciting, and I hope that we can just grow bigger and bigger and have more of a reach, because I know that there are way more people interested in these kind of things than we let on. On my website, I will have posts linked with every single episode, so when it first launches, not every post will be done. I'm still working on it, guys. But I will have posts, and there'll be extra information about things in episodes that you didn't know about. There'll be other documents, things that I can't upload. There'll be pictures, hopefully videos. So stay tuned for that. This will be happening in January, definitely. Thanks for listening, guys. I really appreciate it. If you're into the strange, morbid, or curious, I'll see you in the next episode. Stay safe, stay curious. For real.